Hello, and a very warm welcome to No Heathen Land, a podcast retelling macabre, intriguing, and just plain weird stories from the past, from God's own country, Yorkshire. In my opinion, Yorkshire is the perfect breeding ground for the most weird and wonderful tales. In Yorkshire, we have the rolling, vast countryside of the dales, dark, tangled woodlands, remote back roads, but also industry, hard labour, a history of staunch religion, farming, tight-knit communities, immigration, a welcoming attitude, intolerance, riots. Much of this documented, a vast amount not. It's the stories in between the newspaper headlines that I really want to get into. Through my experience working in local history, it's really quite surprising how many odd tales you come across simply by looking into one single person's family history, for example. A newspaper article, a diary entry, a theatre playbill, a photograph. I'm very lucky to have made friendships and connections with interesting and enthusiastic people right here in Yorkshire. Each episode will feature one of them as a very special guest, where we'll delve into some of the stories we've come across that have fascinated, baffled, and sometimes unnerved us. Because of the subject nature of this podcast, some stories will not be suitable for everyone. Approach with caution. Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of No Heathen Land. We're still going. We're doing once a month. I'm keeping up with it. Thank you if you listened to last month's episode or any other episodes for that matter. I really appreciate it. Please get in touch and let me know what you liked, any stories you want me to talk about. If you want to be on the podcast, that would be wonderful. We are at No Heathen Land on Twitter. You can find us there. We also post pictures from the episode and related materials and links, etc. on there. That'd be really good to see you over there. But yes, this episode is a little bit different, so kind of like last month, but this month I do have a guest, and my guest is my best friend of over 30 years, Claire Hill. So yes, me and Claire have been friends since we were very small, but I wanted to get someone that I know really well in my personal life on the podcast, just to get a different perspective. So Claire isn't in my weird inner circle, we've never worked together, so it'll be interesting to get her reaction to the story that we're going to discuss today, and yeah, just a different perspective on the weird and wonderful underbelly of Yorkshire, I guess. As always, I don't know, I swear this podcast is cursed. I say it every time I upload an episode, something goes wrong. This episode, there's some interference later on. I mean, we're talking about something spooky, so maybe it's something from the spirit world trying to tell me something. But yeah, there's a little bit of crackling in a couple of places. I'm really sorry. Once again, I'm just not very professional. We were just sat on the sofa chatting away, and I didn't want to lose any of the audio, so I've just kept it as is. Unfortunately, my technical knowledge is not so good that I can take out any of those little noises, but hopefully it's not too distracting. Yeah, I'm sorry if it is. So yeah, stay tuned to the end, and I'll do a little goodbye and let you know where you can find links, etc. So without further ado, go forth and enjoy No Heathen Land, episode 8. Welcome, Claire, to my podcast, No Heathen Land.
Thanks for having me.
So Claire is my bestest friend of 30 years?
Yeah.
About 30 years?
Yeah, because you've, maybe even a bit longer, because what, nursery is like 3?
Yeah, about up to maybe 33 years.
Yeah.
We go way back.
Way back. Origin story.
This is what this is about, my origin story.
This is your life.
I started life as a spooky ghost.
It's true story.
Yeah. So I wanted to have Claire on the podcast because you're not really part of my weird little world at home.
No.
We've been friends for such a long time, and I think when you have friends for like lifelong friends, there's like a point in your life where you like move away and you get your other interests and then you get different jobs and things.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things that I, or that we separately have taken interest in, the other might not be so invested in.
Yeah.
So the other people that I've talked to for the podcast have been like colleagues or people in that world of spooks.
Yeah.
Or like history and local history. But you're not really in that, so I'm quite excited to tell you a story and get your reaction from someone who's not like deeply invested in like awful things.
No,
history.
I'm not. I'm a bit of a wimp, really, to be fair.
I don't think you're a wimp.
I don't like scary films and things, though.
You might not like this story, then.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. So, I'm just going to get stuck in.
Right.
So, I'm going to tell you a story today, or a couple of stories from the same theme. So, I wanted to discuss something that I think we both know that turns out is, like, spooky as heck.
Right.
So, we're both from South Yorkshire.
We are.
This is in the South Yorkshire area. And this is about the Stocksbridge Bypass. Do you know about this?
No. I know that there's a bypass.
Yeah.
I
think we've probably both driven down it and been passengers on it.
Yeah.
So let me give you a little bit of history and then I'll tell you what it is about the Stocksbridge Bypass.
Right, okay.
So this is a bit that I don't really care about, but I think I should put it in because it'll explain to people, especially if you're not from Yorkshire, about this bypass.
Right.
So Stocksbridge Bypass is part of the A616, opened in May 1988, and at junction 35A and 36.
I was a year old.
Yeah. It links the M1 motorway to the Woodhead Pass. So that's where it goes. So the full stretch of the road outside of the bypass is 38 miles, and it connects Sheffield to Manchester, and then wider it's Nottinghamshire to Derbyshire. So I don't want anyone to come for me for my road knowledge, because I just looked it up and I think, I don't know if that's exactly correct, but it's like Manchester, it's like Woodhead Bypass, isn't it,
yeah.
To get over there, it's like Pennine.
Yeah, because Stocksbridge is like Sheffield way, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we're South Yorkshire. Like, geography's not for me.
I mean, I think geography is still not for me.
Yeah, I'm just trying to set some like geographical tone.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Stocksbridge Bypass is just 5 miles of that larger road. Somewhere else it said 7.5 miles, but other places said 5. So it's between 5 and 7.5. So let's say 6.
6.25.
Right, so the construction of the new road meant that heavy Trans-Pennine traffic could now be diverted from the surrounding towns to ease congestion and lessen disruption to communities. And it seemed like there were mixed feelings about the construction. So, as we both know, we've always lived close to fields and canals growing up, didn't we?
Yeah.
So there's always a looming threat that roads or houses are going to be built on top of green spaces, and it could cause disruption forever. But then again, like society now, we need roads and we need houses. So it's hard to find a balance, but it was the same concern as the late 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
So, the thing about Stocksbridge Bypass is that it's said to be haunted. Very haunted.
Spooks.
It's listed as one of the most haunted stretches of road, not in England or the UK, but the world.
No way.
Yeah. I found this out the other day. I was like,
in little South Yorkshire?
I was like, what? Well, just you wait.
Oh, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
And of course, that's where the stories today are going to come from.
Right.
But before I start, I did want to acknowledge like a serious side to it, which is that there had been 25 deaths on the bypass, on that small stretch of road, by 2002. So that's like a lot of deaths. I couldn't find a reliable updated figure, but from what I could find, some improvements were made after 2002 to the road, like in the late 2000s, namely average speed cameras and signage, which seemed to have stopped quite a lot of accidents, because there's been hundreds of accidents on that small stretch of road. So it seems like accidents and fatalities on the road have been blamed on speeding motorists, but also it's a poorly designed one-lane system, and there's about 18,000 drivers using the road every day on that one-way, like one-lane system.
Yeah.
So that's actually not great design,
no.
So there's that as well. In the 90s, it was reported that traffic officers and police stated that incidents and deaths were not that much different to other busy stretches of road that were similar,
along with it being the most haunted, it's also listed as one of the most dangerous roads to drive on in the UK. And I had a look on parts of the road now on Google Earth, and it doesn't look that great to drive on. I have driven on it, but not for a long time. No. And I definitely did as a child, because we had friends that lived in Penistone, which is near Stocksbridge. So yeah. We used to go down. I remember driving on it then. And yeah, I was just going to ask, like, have you driven on it? Can you think what it's like? It's near the Fox, isn't there, like, yeah. A retail park
Fox
there?
Valley. Yeah, I have driven on it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of speed cameras on there.
Yeah, so I think that must be what's helped him. That's why.
Yeah, because Fox Valley's only been there probably about six years.
Yeah, yeah. So Fox Valley's like a shopping centre.
Yeah, they've got a Jojo Mama Bebe.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, and I can remember going, because it's the only one that's local to us, when Olive, my daughter, who is five, and
yeah.
Then we're going.
So it must be about
then,
6 years old.
And it was new, it was like brand new then, so it must be about six years old.
But if anyone lives in Yorkshire and drives, or South Yorkshire specifically, I'm sure you'll have driven it. Now, I'm going to show Claire some pictures of it in a bit so you can set the scene a little bit for some of the
I'm
stories.
A visual learner, so yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So, as an aside from this, I just wanted to bring up, I've always thought that Woodhead Pass was spooky, and that's the part of the bypass, so that's part of the Stocksbridge bypass leads to the Woodhead Pass.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to mention, which I'm sure you remember, is it was Woodhead Pass that we drove on when we went to our hen party, can you remember?
Yeah.
So we went for Claire's hen party in 2014.
Yes.
And I drove a car full of people, so there were five of us in the car, fairly smallish car. To Manchester, and we went over the Woodhead Pass, and it was quite a nice day, but we got onto the Woodhead Pass and it was complete, like, there was no visibility.
No,
and
awful.
It was absolutely terrifying because you couldn't see anything in front of you or behind you. You could only see a car coming the other way when the headlights were, like, next to you. It was awful. And then I just remember, like, everyone talking in the back of me being like, everyone needs to be quiet.
Yeah, no.
This is really horrible.
Yeah. It was like the weather just changed.
Yeah.
As soon as we got on there, and then as soon as we left that stretch, it was clear again.
So I think I just associate the Woodhead Pass with that drive being
was
so awful.
Woodhead Pass where we saw the accident coming back from Emma's?
Yeah, I think it was. So I think it was just off the Woodhead Pass.
Yeah.
So yeah, we saw a really horrible accident, probably around the same time, really, like several years, like 7 years ago or something.
Yeah.
We saw a really horrible accident with a lorry, didn't we?
Yeah, I think a family died, you know.
Yeah.
That.
Very, very...
Not nice.
Spooky. So yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because if anyone's been on the Woodhead Pass, it gets closed so much, doesn't it?
In a bad sniff weather. Of ice and
a
it's
sniff
shut.
Of ice. Sniff of... Well, I was going to say sniff of fog, but clearly not.
No.
I drove through it and it was
they
horrendous.
Closed it after we left.
Yeah. There's someone following us with, like, bollards.
Yeah.
But we couldn't see them because there was no visibility.
Yeah.
Anyway, there have been several ghostly sightings on the Stocksbridge bypass stretch of road. And I just find road hauntings really fascinating because they're just so weird. Like, why is a road haunted? Mm. But my favourite road haunting is not Yorkshire, but I'll tell you about it anyway. And it's probably a story called, well, like a legend called The Hairy Hands of Dartmoor. Have you heard about that?
No.
So Dartmoor's obviously, this is just a smaller side because we do have stories about the actual location. But I'm sure people who've listened will have heard of this. It's quite a famous one. So there's a legend. It's actually quite creepy, like, when you think about it. It's quite funny and then it's like,
see,
oh,
I've
it's
got like
creepy.
Is it called The Thing or Adam's Family?
Yeah.
I've just got that, but really hairy, like a baboon.
I think that's what it is. So there's a legend that a hairy pair of hands, which is sometimes visible and sometimes not, appear or don't appear, but their presence is felt, and grab the steering wheel of your car or the handlebars of your motorbike and veer you forcibly off the road. So Dartmoor is in Devon, so it's much further down south. So you don't have to worry about any hairy Yorkshire hands coming to get you. So there's several reports of invisible force steering
drivers of cars or carts?
Well, it's both.
Like historical carts?
Yes. So several reports of an invisible force veering drivers of carts, then cars and bikes off the road in the early 20th century. Initially, it was in 1924, there was a folklorist called Theo Brown who was staying in a caravan, and they woke up during the night to see ghostly
hairy hands making their way up the caravan to an open window.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they made the sign of the cross. The person made the sign of the cross and then the hands disappeared.
Oh, the hands
it's in the air.
Just went like this, like, rest his fingers.
And then in a 2003 book called Supernatural Dartmoor, the author Michael Williams was told by journalist Rufus Endell that they experienced a pair of hands attempt to steer them off the road. And according to Williams, Endell asked for this tale to only be told after his death, which is a bit sus, like, you probably want to tell people. But I don't know if they thought that people wouldn't believe him or something. I don't know.
Or maybe he thought the hands will come and get him.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good story, though, for a book. But several people have reported that when they're driving along this road, they felt like a looming presence. And that's another road where there's been lots of accidents. These like, weird hands. So it's like you're being forced off the road and you can't stop.
Where does the legend, is it classed as a legend?
Yeah.
Where does it come from? Why is it not a figure? Why is it just hands?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Stocksbridge Bypass one is probably classed as the most haunted because it's spookier. It's just like, yeah. Not that like severed hands aren't spooky because that's
severed hairy really hands.
Weird. But yeah, I don't know where it comes from. But if you're a bit spooked out by that, you're probably going to be more spooked out by this. So anyway, that's an aside, because on this podcast, we don't care about anywhere that's not in Yorkshire. Let them hands free. right, so do you want to hear about the most famous hauntings of the
I do, yeah.
Okay. So the most well-known story is actually from September 1987. So that's several months before the bypass was actually opened.
I was a fresh babby.
Yeah, we're both fresh babbies.
Yeah.
During the construction of the bypass, two security guards working for McAlpine were patrolling the site during the night. The first occurrence happened on the 8th of September, and two men were driving along Peroyd Lane, that's near Stocksbridge Steelworks, at about 12:30 a.m. And they were concerned as they saw a small group of children playing underneath an electricity pylon.
Gosh, children.
Yeah, children. They parked the car in the spot for a while. And they were worried because there was no housing nearby and there were no accessible routes, so they got out of the car to approach the children. The two men later said the children were dressed in like old-fashioned clothing and they skipped and played together underneath this pylon. As the guards approached them in the darkness, they disappeared. When they reached the site under the pylon, there were no footprints in the grass or mud and no sign of anyone having been there at all. The following morning, the guards inquired with the construction workers on site, asking if they'd seen or heard anything odd, several of whom said they'd heard children's voices and singing while they rested in their caravans at night. So everybody knows that there's nothing more terrifying than creepy ghost children.
Creepy ghost children and then creepy old people. Mm. But old people freak me out anyway, specifically old men. I'm a bit scared of old men.
That's your hot take.
Thanks. I'm a bit scared of old men. And I'm worried as I get older.
You're going to be married to
one. I'm going to be married to one. But, yeah. But, kids are weird and creepy anyway. But yeah. Ghost kids.
Yeah.
Singing. Oh.
So apparently they sang Ring a Ring of Roses.
Oh, of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course they did. Pocket full of poses.
Yeah.
Pocket full of death. That's what it is.
Pocket full of spooks. So that was the first night. So that was the 8th of September.
Is this before the bypass was built in 88 and this was 87?
No, the bypass was opened in 88, so this was during the construction.
Right,
and that's
okay.
Why they had security guards on site and the construction workers on site in caravans.
Right.
So they had security guards patrolling the site
So it was haunted before it was even bypass, because no kids could have been killed.
That's what we assume.
What was it before?
Well,
school.
So,
orphanage.
That's not the end of these security guards. Stories. So the next night, the night after, the 9th of September 1987, the same two men patrolling the area again drove again towards Peroyd Lane site in the darkness, and their car lights illuminated a tall dark figure on the road ahead of them, wearing a long black hooded robe, and this figure was described as a monk. So again, the figure disappeared as the car approached, but this sighting shook them so much that they called their supervisor. They were so hysterical that the supervisor then reported the sightings to the police. So duty officer PC Ellis proceeded to tell them they needed a priest and not the police.
Mm-hmm.
A
not much longer, the same police officer was on duty, received a phone call from a local priest called Stuart Bindley to report two very distressed men in his church demanding that he exorcise Peroyd Lane as part of the Stocksbridge bypass. That's spooky. And this isn't like medieval England, this is like 1987.
Yeah.
And two grown men terrified with a well-documented account of their sighting over two nights.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's always a hooded figure, isn't it?
It's always a hooded figure. I don't know why I couldn't take his hood off. What's he hiding under there?
Well, if he's a monk, he might be bold, he might have had a chill.
That's true. September can be a little bit nippy at night.
Bit fresh.
Yeah. So that's the first one. But it does get a bit spookier than that.
Oh, spookier than dead kids?
A little, yeah, I mean, it depends what you're spooked about. Maybe not for you.
It's going to be an old man, isn't it?
Well, so, following on from this, 2 days later, 11th of September 1987, two police officers, so the aforementioned PC Ellis that answered the phone twice, a couple of nights before, and Special Constable John Beat, were sent to patrol the site, and both of them were sceptical and slightly amused by the accounts of these two hysterical men on the previous nights. I'm reiterating that they're hysterical because it's not that often that you hear men described as hysterical. Yeah. I really like it.
I'm enjoying it. I'm also enjoying that John Beat was on the beat.
Yeah, on the beat. John Beat's on the beat. So the two officers parked their car, again, at the Peroyd Lane site, where a bridge runs over the main road, and it's called Peroyd Bridge. I'll show you it after we've talked about this so you can see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It's on Google Earth so you can see it. They waited a while, hearing and seeing nothing, until one of the men noticed some movement upon the bridge. So PC Ellis exited the car to investigate, find him.
On his own?
Yep. Oh. There's two of them in the car, one of them got out to investigate this figure on the bridge.
You never get out on your own.
To find that it was some tarpaulin.
Oh.
Flapping in the wind. So they were relieved and slightly amused that the security guards on the previous night might have been spooked by a loose piece of material.
Yeah.
And they both settled back down in the car to wait a bit longer before they were going to leave. So what do you think is going to happen next to these two police officers?
They're going to get the full Monty. It's going to be kids and a monk and some tarpaulin.
All under the tarpaulin.
All under the tarpaulin.
So, shortly after this, Ellis reported feeling a deep chill, like someone had, quote, walked over his grave.
Oh.
And glancing to the door of the vehicle so above inside the car, saw a figure standing with its torso pressed against the window, clothed in dark cloak with a deep V, white material down the centre of its chest. No sooner had it appeared that it vanished from Ellis's side and immediately appeared on the same way on Beat's side of the car. Ellis leapt out of the car to see nothing in the darkness. The policeman frantically attempted to leave, but their car wouldn't start. On a third attempt to start the car, it worked, and the men began to drive to the nearby construction site, frantically radioing in their location. A loud banging started on the boot of the car, but nothing was in sight that could cause it. Ellis again climbed out of the car, and another loud bang terrified him back into the car, and they hurriedly left the site. Both men later recounted the terror they felt at the incident, obviously. And when I didn't really see anything about this in the articles I read, but apparently both the policemen didn't fully recover from the experience and both left the force, one within weeks and the other within months of the experience. So that's quite terrifying. I think when it's a lone person experiencing supernatural occurrences, it's easy to be like, yeah, like that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But when it's two or more people and they're so terrified, it's definitely more compelling, at least.
A torso,
yeah, pressed against the window, and then as they drive away, it's like a banging on the car.
Oh.
But they got out, and oh, we got one's known there.
I've got goosey.
So there have been several spooky sightings since the bypass opened, to the tune of £18 million it cost to do the bypass. Guess when it was opened? Friday the 13th.
Of course it was. Of course it. I thought it was going to be that, or it was going to be Halloween.
Friday the 17th of May 1988. What a date. So, including sightings of children and the monk, most of which have been around the bridge, which is now dubbed Ghost Bridge. So, I'll show you a picture of it from Google Earth so you can see what it's like.
And you can see how like, this has been quite, I mean, it looks lovely. It's a lovely day in this picture. But there it is. So there's the bridge. And they were underneath, down here.
Right.
When it was being constructed. I'll put a picture of this on the Twitter so people can
right.
see. So they were down there, and they would have gone up to see this, like, tarpaulin. And then whatever it was on the road. At the top. Yeah. It's quite spooky. But it looks lovely in the daytime, but I bet that is not nice at night. So, like, look, if you go further down the road.
I can't see even near a lamppost.
So as soon as you go past the bridge, it's, like, into the countryside-y.
No. Not for me.
No.
Not for me, no, thank you.
So I bet it's quite spooky, definitely at night. But not only that, there's also been sightings of black dogs, which are significant in haunted sites. Have you heard about black dogs?
Only from a mental health point of view.
Yeah, so there is a different significance to a black dog, which is in my wonderful book.
Is it like on Harry Potter when he sees the in his tea leaves?
Ooh, that's a good comparison.
And it's like that, oh, what's it called? I forgot what it is, the name. I want to say Kraken, but that's not...
It's not the Kraken.
But she's like, oh, it's the so-and-so, and it's like a bad omen that you're going to die.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read a little bit from this book, which is called Haunted Yorkshire, which was a very kind gift from a friend. And there is a small chapter about black dogs.
Right.
So they appear a lot in, like, hauntings. But they can mean one of two things. So, for as long as man has been able to tell stories, there have also been tales of strange spectral dogs that have been associated with death or the devil. These mysterious beasts are said to be much larger than a regular dog and have been described generally as abnormally Irish wolfhounds or Alsatian-type animals. Commonly they are believed to be death omens, although this theory is changeable. Certain individuals claim that the beasts have offered protection to travellers as they walk or cycle along rural back lanes to their destination. These elusive spirits by numerous names such as hellhounds, black dogs, barrowguest, padfoot and more. In Yorkshire, they are commonly referred to as black shook, which I've never heard of.
Called padfoot in Harry Potter.
Yeah, well, there you go.
He's a big black dog.
Yep. So, I think that's interesting because according to that, it can mean one of two things. So, is the dog there because it's a bad omen, telling you that it's not a good place to be? Or is it actually protecting you from the other bad things that happen in there?
Let's think the latter.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. So, to go along with all this, tragically, as I mentioned before, the bypass has actually been an accident black spot for, well, since it opened, pretty much. And so many people have been injured and killed, so it's just not a good road all around. So, reasons for the haunting. Apparently, the road was constructed on unconsecrated ground, which is like a classic. So that means that it was a burial ground, which was not part of Christian holy ground. Whether you believe that or not, it's often used as like a reasoning for why like a site might be haunted. So, like you said, no one was killed on the road because the road wasn't there.
Yeah.
But it was possibly built
land.
On... Yeah, possibly built on something somewhere it shouldn't have been. Also, as we know, Yorkshire, particularly South Yorkshire, is known for its mines. And there was said to have been a mining disaster at some point in that area where people were killed, including children. But it's also said that children could have fallen down mine shafts in the area, which did happen in, well, everywhere where there were mines. And died, hence the ghostly children.
And them playing.
Yeah.
Playing, living the best life.
Falling down a mineshaft.
Dead.
Yeah. Any which way, it's kind of an unclear phenomena and I guess exciting is the wrong word. But for us in South Yorkshire, we've got one of the most haunted roads in the world. What an accolade.
It is.
Yeah. So... To the modern day...
And I will never drive down it ever again.
Me neither. I am tempted now to go and just have a little look, but...
We'll go together.
Maybe we'll go together. Not at night.
No, we'll not go at night. And we'll go to Fox Valley and we'll go to Jojo Mama Bibi.
Yeah, and we'll go and have a nice drink in a cafe.
Yeah, have a cup of tea and then take a different route back.
Yeah. So the modern day, I wanted to show you this ghost hunter video that I found, that I watched. I just found it really, really funny. It's very funny. And then we'll watch it and then we'll come back and have a quick chat about it. I'm not going to say the username of the person because I don't want to make fun of them, like, personally, but we can make fun of them and then come back to the podcast and talk about it. I just don't want to make fun of someone and, like, and make it personal, but it's, I think it's a good thing to watch. So in this video, this person is doing, this is very recent, a few years ago, they're doing a ghost hunt to the site in the dark, and they find some spooky, spooky things, but it's only this one person that seems to see any of these things that are happening. It's just quite amusing. So we're going to watch that and then we'll be back just to end the podcast.
Okay.
Right, so we're just back from watching the paranormal video. What did you think about that? Without saying who this person was, it's a young man who obviously must do these paranormal videos. I must admit I've not watched any of his other videos. But that's quite something, isn't it?
Passionate.
Yes, very passionate. So this was 2017, and they'd obviously gone into the sort of like woodland, I guess it is, that's like in the UK, the woodland at the side, is always like at the side of motorways and bypasses, isn't it?
Because it's usually... Not far from a woodland in Yorkshire,
are you? Woodland. So he's in there with his little mini crew, just exclaiming things, actually. Yeah. And he's got a reader, like a spirit reader.
It looks like it's from 80s.
Yeah, that he's asking questions, that reads the area. And he seems to get some messages through. I couldn't quite make out what they were saying, but he thinks that it said something like...
Wanted his inner soul.
Inner soul.
There were some children laughing.
Yeah.
Number six. And then later on, it was a lot more clear that this spirit had had enough for his antics. I wanted him to get out.
And the best, my favourite thing about this video was a particular line that I think we're now going to use in every situation, which is, what is mocking me within these woods? I'm sorry, Mr. Spirit Man, I don't mean to mock you personally, but it's a very entertaining video, isn't it?
He's very, he's clearly very passionate, and he believes wholeheartedly in what he's doing, and he was getting very frustrated with the spirits.
He was very frustrated with the spirits.
He felt he saw a spirit, practically took out one of his crew members, jumping out of the way, and then he felt like the spirits were mocking him by not coming up on his little reader device.
Yeah.
But then they eventually told him to get out.
But then he did keep asking, do you want me to go?
Do you want me to leave? What do you want me to do?
Do you want me to leave? Do you want me to go?
Yeah, and he said decided.
Yeah.
So he's decided they wanted him to leave.
Yeah.
It didn't look like he were leaving. And then it cut to him just being like, guys.
In his bedroom.
This is the video. I'm quite sceptic, but I do believe there's things that you cannot, there's no logical explanation to stuff.
Well, this is why these stories are interesting. So like I said at the end of those stories about the security guards and the policemen, when it's someone trudging through some woodland with a spectre reader shouting, what is mocking me within these woods? It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. And that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're looking for something spiritual or a sign, you're going to find it.
Yeah, because you're putting it out there.
Yeah.
And you're making... And also, it's nighttime. Adrenaline's going.
Yeah, there's no street lights.
You're going to be scared.
There's probably hedgehogs.
You're going to see things that aren't there. Everyone sees things in the night that isn't there.
Yeah.
It's just your brain playing tricks
but
on you.
Then these stories that are, you know, these people are so terrified and hysterical.
Yeah.
That, and they back each other up.
Yeah.
What's the explanation for that? I don't know.
Exactly.
It's spooky.
Yeah.
Spooky, spooky.
Very spooky.
So that's the end of the bypass. Well, it's not the end of the bypass, it's still there.
I'm not going on it.
But we're never going on it ever again.
No.
So usually at the end of the podcast episode, to lighten the mood a bit, we like to talk about something that we've watched or read or listened to recently that we think would be worth sharing. And I don't think I've done that for the past couple of episodes, so I can update what I've done. And Claire is the best person to have to do this because she watches a right load of telly.
Way too much telly that's good for any human consumption.
Yeah. So do you want to start with a standout thing for you recently? Can be anything.
Well, I'll be judged.
There's no judgment here.
Right. So
if anyone makes a comment, they're instantly blocked.
Yeah. It's fine. It's trash TV, and I understand what it is. I stopped watching the famous Kardashians, but they've got a new format, mm-hmm. new series on Disney Plus. Popped it on. Love it.
Yeah. So I should also say that Claire has got two children. One is very young.
Yes.
So Claire is still on maternity leave with her second baby.
I am usually stuck under a sleeping or feeding child hours upon hours of daytime and nighttime. So yeah, the new Kardashians, really, I'm liking it. It seems more like chill, loving the whole Travis and Courtney.
Yeah, of course.
I forgot how soft-spoken he is.
Yeah.
He's just such a lovely... Just a, such a lovely man. So that's my trash.
Yeah.
But I'm coming to the end of This Is Us.
Oh, yeah, I haven't watched it. I've heard people love it.
There's rare an episode that you watch where you don't cry or get that burny feeling in the back of your throat where you feel like you need to cry, but you're trying to, like, not cry.
Yeah.
So there's only 5 episodes left now, and it's getting really sad.
Yeah.
Really sad. And another thing that I've been enjoying... And, you know, I need to get an award for this because I've persevered. Is The Walking Dead.
Oh, my God. Have you finished it?
I'm still watching it.
Still watching it.
It's on Disney Plus. I'm up to date.
I got to season... This is years ago. 4 or 5. And stopped.
No, I'm...
Because it was the same over and over again.
Oh, it still is.
Oh, is it?
It still is. It is still... is but I'm up to date.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last season.
Yeah,
I've got to see it through.
What I do enjoy is
Daryl's still alive.
Oh, that's all I need to know.
So that's all I need to go.
Yeah,
that's all you need. So, Dazza.
So what I do like about Walking Dead is that they've said it's ending.
Yes,
I don't. That's the thing about that puts me off about series. If anyone knows me, like, I am always. Years. I'm talking years
later.
You
don't watch much telly, though, do you?
I don't watch much telly. I watch a lot of films and then I sometimes catch on to series, but maybe, like, I mean, I've been watching The Sopranos and The Wire. These came on 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm watching it now. I'm just really, really late to stuff. So, yeah. I might... And I did watch The Walking Dead and I might... Who knows? Maybe I'll go back to it in 15 years.
No, yeah, they're my 3 things. I get I'm a bit lame. I get a bit excited because my Walking Dead's on a Monday.
Yeah.
So I watch that during nap time. My poor child hearing that as well, she's asleep. And then Thursdays was This Is Us Day, and now it's This Is Us and Kardashian Day.
Oh, very good.
I realise they're not called the Kardashians, but you've just got to, haven't you? So I think, and that Moon Knight.
I don't know what this is.
New Marvel.
Oh, yeah, it's on the. It's always on the top of the TV.
Yeah, with
thing
the guy who, he's an American actor, but I genuinely thought he was British.
This is so.
And then he's going slagged off for his English accent, and I thought he was actually British. That shows me.
That shows you.
That shows me. I genuinely thought he was from the London town.
All those years, acting school, Claire.
I know.
She hasn't done all these.
No, I haven't, no.
Yeah, you know what I'm like, especially with franchises.
Yeah.
Marvel films, I don't know how many I've seen. 2.
That it's my life.
I know, it's Claire's a big fan.
They're always out around my birthday.
Most people are. I think I'm probably an odd one out. I can't get bored.
I just love it.
With it.
The new Spider-Man. Oh.
See, I've only seen... That first Spider-Man, where they kiss upside down.
With
Is
Maguire?
That the first one? Yeah. I don't even know what happened. Maybe I'll catch up one day.
That's Goblin one, isn't it? Green Goblin, I think.
I don't know.
With James Franco, but we don't like him anymore.
No, I know.
Very good. Music, though.
Yeah.
Panic Shack.
Oh.
I really like them.
I don't think I know who they are.
They're like a bit punky.
Oh.
Girl band.
Oh.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, have a listen.
Yeah. I'm always up for Chris has just got, music. Chris, my husband, he's just got the new vinyl. I don't know what he's done with it. I will show you afterwards. It's like clear but pink.
Oh, nice.
And he's also got a vinyl for you because he got accidentally sent two. So
oh my
he
gosh.
Thought you can have one for someone else. I want to say it's... I can't remember what the artist is, but we'll find out
this
afterwards.
Is so exciting. A gift for me.
Yeah. Because he knows you like, you and Luke listen to vinyl, so he's like, well, I've got a spare vinyl, I'll just give it to you. Great.
So one thing, I am quite good at keeping up with his music, I think.
Yeah, see, I mean, I like to listen to Radio 6, and though it's broken in my car, it won't play anymore, so
no,
I've been listening to a lot of Radio 1, so I've listened to the same songs
over and
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I'm really good at lyrics for certain songs, but Chris is really good. At music and finding new music, listening to new music.
Yeah.
So I do get a lot from
it's
him.
So I just think it's so easy now. I don't know how you can say that new music is rubbish because it's just a lie. Because there's so much that you can find. So I have just, like, this is very recent for me. It's fresh in my mind. Oh, that's just reminded me. I've just watched a film called Fresh, which was recommended to me by a good friend of mine. They recommended it to me with the premise that it was kind of a horror.
The Sebastian Stan?
Yeah.
Yeah, seen it.
It's so good.
I thought it was really good because it felt...
It's so good.
No pun intended. Fresh.
So I'm not going to say what it's about in case people haven't watched it. But if you like... I'd say it's like a comedy horror.
And why do you like him in it though?
I know.
It's wrong. But I'm like, wrong. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
He's alright. He's not.
A cheeky chappy.
Oh, I think it might be because he's Sebastian Stan and he's a dream.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
I really enjoyed it.
So that was really good. And then yesterday and this morning, I finished it this morning, I'm one of those people that watches half a film and then comes back to it another day.
I know,
but I just have things on and I potter around. I'm a potterer, so I like to pause things and... Because I watch a lot of stuff on my own. I've been meaning to watch for years, since it came out, The Witch. It's exactly what I want from a film. Medieval times, does witchy stuff, it's spooky AF, love the ending. I won't say any more than that apart from it's like based on real accounts of like witchings in medieval times. A lot of which I have read because I've been transcribing like a document that's got 16th century witch trials in it. And they're very close to that. If you like creepy, looming, like folk horror, I guess, I would definitely recommend it. It feels very claustrophobic. It's everything's dark and gloomy. Nothing good happens in it. But it's brilliant. It's a very famous film if you like that kind of thing. I just missed the boat on it. There's a goat in it. It's called Black Phillip. What else do you need from a film? The goat's pretty evil. So that's not giving much.
Goats
away,
like me too much. We know this. I do. If there's a goat,
Black Phillip might get you though.
They attack me.
They do have other goats as well in the. Anyway, this has nothing to do with it. Anyway, I definitely recommend it. It's on Netflix, and I loved the ending. I've seen a lot of like memes and things around it in like the online like horror and folklore communities, and now I know what they mean by some of it. So I'm like, yeah, now I feel included once again, like 5 years later, because I finally did it. And I also started watching yesterday, which I'm absolutely loving, on the BBC, Alma's Not Normal, which. Loads of people have watched and said how good it was. You'd really like it.
Well,
so it's a comedy. It's just about a woman called Alma and how she's navigating through life after having quite a rough upbringing, but it's very funny. It's set in Bolton, so
it weren't in Bolton. I went to Bolton. Is Bolton Abbey in Bolton?
No.
No, I went to Bolton Abbey.
Oh, that's lovely.
Went the other day. It was a lovely time.
Yeah, we talked about Bolton Abbey in one of the episodes as well.
Yeah. Oh.
An episode that you might have not listened to.
Look, I've had a baby.
I'm joking.
No, I do. No, it was. I have a nice day out.
It was mentioned in the. We mentioned it in the Halloween in retrospect episode. Me and Ross,
one of the stories from that is at Bolton Abbey, and I was talked about how
Ross's episodes are like my favourite episodes.
He'll be back on again.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. Love Everyone him. Does.
Good.
Hopefully he'll listen and he'll... So I'll leave it there. Thank you so much for listening to my story this
Thanks
week.
For having me. I've had a lovely time.
Yeah. Now we're going to go do something really fun. We're going to go see Skunk Anansie in Sheffield.
Woohoo!
And relive our late teens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing some good singing really loudly over the tops of everyone.
We'll be gruff tomorrow.
We'll be really
actual gruff. Gruffalos.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for listening and bye. Thanks, Claire.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Hey, it's just me again. Thank you so much for listening to the end. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I loved recording it. Any time I get to spend with my best friend, just chatting about things that I like is very precious time indeed. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed. Do let me know. Right, I'll put links to everything that we mentioned in the podcast, the pictures, the Google Map link, some of the articles that I used. Thanks to my friend Sean for sending me a couple of those over that I didn't have access to. That was very helpful. So put them in the link in the description of the podcast episode in whichever app you're listening to this episode on now. And I'll also put some links on our Twitter page. Again, that is at No Heathen Land. So that's all for this month. For episode 8, thank you so much again for listening. Thank you to my wonderful friend Claire, I love you very much. thanks to Luke as always for editing help. And I will see you in the next episode in May. Goodbye everyone!